Isaiah 58, verse 11.
And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Satisfy thy soul in drought. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be a watered garden, and a spring of water whose waters fail not. Sure does sound like a good verse to me. Talks about the watered garden, that sure does sound good. And a spring of water, that sure sounds good. And even sounds better, talks about the waters never fail. But what's on my heart are those words where it says that satisfy thy soul in drought. Satisfy. I thought this afternoon, I've thought for the last couple of days, I am not disappointed in my Lord. He satisfies me even in the place of drought. Our circumstances probably are not what we desire them to be. If yours are, I wish you'd write a book and let me read it. I want a signed copy. For I know very few, in fact, I don't think I know any who would say, oh, my circumstances are just exactly how I want them. I wouldn't change a thing about what's going on in my life. Do you know anybody like that? No, I don't either. But I do know people who are struggling, and I do know people who have heartaches, and I do know people who are going through times of drought and depression and times of difficulty. I know people who are battling. I know people who are being attacked from every side. But the Lord said, in spite of all the drought season you go through, I can satisfy you. I want to say this, here's what I'm trying to preach. I've never been disappointed in Him. I have never been disappointed in Him. I think I can say I have never been disappointed by Him. Now, I've been disappointed with myself. In fact, I'm more disappointed with myself than pleased with myself. I know who I am, and I know what I am, and I know all about me, and what I know about me disappoints me. There are times I wish I had done better. There are times I wish I had done different. There's times I've said things I wish I had not. There's times I should have said something that I didn't. There's times I did something I should not have done or didn't do what I should have done. I have been disappointed in myself quite often, unfortunately. I have been disappointed with other people, I suppose, quite often also. I wish they would do better, and they don't. I wish they would do different than they do. And you can say the same thing in your life. You have people you care about, and they just aren't doing right. Sometimes they do things that we would classify as dumb. And we can be truthful tonight in saying we have been disappointed in others. I can say I've been disappointed in circumstances. Things just didn't happen the way I wanted them to. I would get my hopes up about certain things, see those hopes dashed in the rock. I would desire something and long for something and perhaps even work towards something, and it didn't happen. Or that I did not want would happen. I've been disappointed in circumstances. But I say all those things I have been disappointed in, oh, it means nothing compared to the fact that I have never been disappointed in Him. That word disappointment means to fail to satisfy the hope, the desire, or the expectation of. That's good enough to read again. The word disappoint means to fail to satisfy the hope, desire, or expectation of. And I say from that especially, since you know more about the word now, I have never been disappointed in my Savior. I have never been disappointed in Him. Because of His compassion, I can be comforted. He loves me. And in spite of all the drought season I may face, I can be comforted in the fact that He's a compassionate God. That He loves me. The psalmist said in Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I may not be glad in a lot of circumstances or a lot of people or even in me, but I can be glad in Him. Because I know He loves me, I can be comforted even when there are drought seasons. Even when trials do come, I can rest assured. I can be comforted in the fact that He still loves me. In fact, the reason He lets the trials come and the reason He lets me go through the drought is because He loves me. He is trying to work something in my life and yours when we go through the trials we face. So that can comfort us. It should not disappoint us because we have the drought or the trials or the burden or the heartache, troubled, concerned, probably, but not disappointed. We should realize I can be comforted in the fact that He has compassion on me. Psalm 27, verse 1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, I've got the Lord with me, and He loves me. What in the world should I be afraid of? Nothing. Trials come, and burdens come, and heartaches come, but we don't have to be disappointed. We can be comforted because of His compassion. Romans 5:3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I know He loves me, and I can be comforted in that and not be disappointed because tribulations come. It is a part of life. Somebody asked me not long ago, how in the world do you explain how God lets children get sick? And I said, I cannot explain it. There is no way to explain it. There is no explanation other than we're in a world of sin and no one is excluded from the effects of sin. But I know this, in spite of it all, my God still loves me. And that comforts me in this drought world, this drought life. I don't have to be disappointed. I'm comforted because of His compassion. He has a purpose in everything He sends. That verse I just read said, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I know He loves me, and I know He's working something in my life to accomplish something good. I may not see it. I may not be able to pinpoint what He's doing or what He's trying to do, but I know this, He loves me. He loves me. And I can get comfort from that. The Bible says also in Romans 8, 38 and 39, listen to Paul, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said He lists a whole lot of things, and He ends this list by saying, and anything else, just in case I've missed anything on my list, I say, everything's included. Nothing will separate me from His love for me. So drought, come ahead. I say it reluctantly. Trials, go ahead. Burdens, come ahead if I need to hurt. But I know my Lord loves me. His compassion, because of His compassion, I can be comforted. He has never yet let me down, not one time. And by the way, He never will, because He loves us. Job said it like this, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job said, if He strikes me dead right now, I still know He loves me. I still know He's God. I still know He's right. I still know I can trust them. Explain them? Oh, no. Understand? Maybe not, but I do know this. I don't know a lot, but I do know this. God has compassion, and I can get comfort from that. I don't have to be disappointed in Him. In fact, I never will be. Because of His compassion, I can be comforted. Because of His care, I can be content. He takes care of me. He takes care of me. Now, I don't know what you have as far as your stuff. And I don't know how good a care you think He's doing for you as far as your health or as far as anything else in your life. But I do know this, your God is taking care of you. He takes care of His children. Oh, we may not be rich. And we may not have a life of ease, and we may not be living in mansions and driving Rolls and Rolexes and all that. But I'll tell you one thing, my God is taking care of me. I'm not disappointed in how He's taking care of me, and you shouldn't either. Because of His care, I can be content with what He's given me and what He's doing in my life. He has taken care of me and always will be, and whatever comes or whatever doesn't come, it is okay. Oh, to be content, to be satisfied with what I have and what's going on. His care for us helps us to be content. Deuteronomy 8:16 says, "Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, he that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good in the latter end." He says that God fed you manna in the wilderness. Now they're in the wilderness, they're in the desert. And I thought again this afternoon, that's not my number one place to be. If I'm spending time trying to think about and plan a vacation, I am not going to think about going out in the middle of the desert and camping out in a tent. I promise you that. If you want to, you have at it. Show me the pictures when you get back, but not me. And they were in a desperate situation in a wilderness with no water, no food. They were in a desperate situation. Hey, can I say this? They were in a drought. A drought experience, but God took care of them through their drought, through 40 years of wilderness wandering, as the Bible says. God took care of them all along the way. And the only time they ever had problems is when they weren't content and they weren't satisfied. Hey, they were disappointed in what God was doing and how He was taking care of them, but they had no right, no cause to. Because He's taking care of them. And when they needed whatever they needed, He provided. He took care of them. And He takes care of me and you. So because of His care, I can be content. I don't have to fret about it. Don't have to be disappointed or discouraged about it. Romans 8:28 really is in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That verse really is in there. And it's there because it's true. He takes care of me and I can be content. I've never been disappointed in Him because His compassion helps me to be comforted. And His care helps me to be content. Could I say number three, I've never been disappointed in Him because His consistency helps me to be confident. His consistency helps me to be confident. In other words, He didn't let me down yesterday, and He didn't let me down last week, and He didn't disappoint me last year, and He ain't going to disappoint me tomorrow. He is consistent. He is constant. He is consistent. He is the same always. Now, you can't say that about people. You can't say that about your friends or family. You can't say that about your boss. You can't say that about your workers if you are a boss. You can't say that about much anything. Very few things are consistent in this day, but He is. He never changes. He's always the same. We can trust Him all the time, even during the drought. You can trust Him because He's consistent. He's the same all the time, no matter what. And therefore, you can have confidence in Him. You can be confident because He took care of me yesterday, and He took care of me last week, and He took care of me a year ago, and He took care of me 40 years ago. And if He did that, He's going to take care of me now. I can see His consistency and be confident. I don't have to be disappointed. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He said, the reason you can trust me, the reason you're okay, sons of Jacob, is because I'm still God. And I ain't going to stop being God. Because you're in the drought, because you're in wilderness, because you're struggling, because you're going through what you're going through. That ain't changed me. I'm consistent. Therefore, you can be confident. You don't have to be disappointed in me. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't even think about turning. He doesn't even think about changing. You have a consistent Father who takes care of you. Therefore, you can have confidence. I'm talking this evening about how I've never been disappointed in Him. Not one time. I'm not saying everything's been super smooth and rosy. You know better than that. He just said in this verse I've just read about you're in a drought. But I'm in that drought with you. I am there taking care of you. I can be assured. I don't have to be disappointed because His compassion helps me to be comforted and His care helps me to be content. And His consistency helps me to be confident. But listen, because His conviction helps me to be changed. Now, I'll be honest. I find about these two friends of mine coming this morning. When I talked to the one last night and he said, "We're coming." Well, I tell you what, I prayed. I woke up like always several times through the night. Every time I prayed, woke up this morning and was praying. Came here and looked over notes and was praying. Came here and said, felt so uncomfortable because they were here and I wanted them to get help so much and I wanted to be used so much to touch their heart and to convict them. Because I know what conviction does for me. Conviction is a hard, harsh, hurting, helpful thing. It hurts. It's hard. It makes you weep, it breaks you down, it tears you apart, it'll destroy you, but it'll help you. Because the Lord said, "I want to change you. I don't want you to keep doing what you're doing. I don't want you to keep acting like you're acting. I am not going to let it go by." Now, grandpas may say, "Okay, don't worry about it." But God's not a grandpa that pats the little boy on the head and says, "That's okay. You didn't really mean to, did you?" God won't let His children get by. And I'm glad He doesn't. Hurts me. Tears me apart. Makes me miserable. Robs me of my joy. Robs me of my peace. Robs me of so much. But God's convicting. Because He's trying to show me something in my life that's not supposed to be there. And I say this evening, I am glad for that. I am glad. I'm not disappointed in Him. Don't have to be disappointed in Him because His conviction can change me. I can be changed. He tells me when I'm wrong. And if I listen, I get help. If I let Him, He'll help me. If I let Him, He'll change me. And do better. Listen to me. He's offering the best that we can experience. That's why He convicts us. What we're experiencing, what we're doing by our halfway life or our inconsistent life or our not so good life that He convicts us about. He's saying, "I got something better for you than that. I have something better." He's not just mad. He's not just mean. He's loving. He's God. And He convicts us to change us, to help us, to where He can get honor, but that we can be blessed. Most blessed person on earth is the one that walks with the Lord and listens to Him. when he deals with them. I'm talking this evening about I've never been disappointed with him. I don't have to be disappointed. His compassion helps me to be comforted. His care helps me to be content. His consistency helps me to be confident. His conviction helps me to be changed. And listen, here's the last one. Because of his coming, I can be calm. I'll tell you one thing. Watch the news for a few minutes. Then watch some of these crazy commercials with the cussing and the men kissing men and women kissing women. And I asked somebody today about a commercial. I asked them, what in the world is that, a man or a woman? What are they trying to say? And it's advertising gladly their sin. And if you say something about it, you are dumb. And you're something wrong with you to somehow oppose them. And you look around at all that's going on in our country. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of babies running this country right now. And they're fighting over the blocks and in the sandbox. And by the way, I could remind you, they're in charge. They're in charge of the money. They're in charge of the button that pushes the bombs. They're in charge of everything. They're in charge of, humanly speaking, of our life. And they are just absolutely gone mad. But the whole world is coming unglued. Sin is rampant. People are insane. You can kill a dog and they'll put you to death. And you can kill a child and compliment you for it. I mean, unborn. I'm talking about our world is a mess. And if you think about it for a little while, it'll drive you crazy. I say this, you will be anything but calm. But knowing he's coming helps me to be calm. Be calm, not just because he's coming to get me out of it. Now, that's a big deal. And I wish he'd come right now, I do. Only thing that bothers me is the lost people that's still here that I know. But there's always going to be lost people here. And I don't say that lightly. I'm just saying it's a fact. I'm telling you, I'm talking about knowing he's coming because he's coming, I can be calm. And I'm not talking about just being calm because he's going to come get me out of it. I'm talking about I can be calm because he's listened to me. He's told me what to expect before he comes. Guess what? What we're seeing is exactly what he told us it would be like before he comes. And I can rightfully accept that by faith and be calm in all the chaos. Because I know he's coming soon. And he said to expect all that's going on now right before he comes. So, hey, listen to me. He said it was going to happen. He said it's going to happen. So we shouldn't be shocked that we're seeing it happen. Burden, yes. Concern, yes. Praying, yes. Living right, being the light, the salt, yes. But we should not be scared and we should not be shocked and we should not be amazed. Paul said it like this, by the way, the Lord said through Paul, this know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. The word perilous means dangerous. It literally means fierce. It's like that maniac of Gadara, the same type of word. Out of his mind. And Paul said, oh yeah, by the way, in the last days, where we're at, he said, it's just going to be the world just seems to be out of their mind. And we're seeing that. So that can help us to accept it by faith and realize those difficult times. That word perilous means dangerous and fierce and difficult. It has the idea of reducing the strength, drawing the strength out of you. And I often say, Lord, I'm so weak. Lord, I'm so tired. Because this world, this life, this experience, this day can drain the strength out of you. But I can also say, Lord, thank you, and I can be calm in all the turmoil. With all the danger, I can be calm because I can trust you. Like the disciples on the ship, they could have been calm just as easily if they trusted the Lord. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. We're seeing that. People make fun of us. The only person that doesn't have rights now is the Christian, especially old-fashioned Christian. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, listen, except there come a falling away first. Men, we're seeing that. People who used to walk with the Lord just quit. Love the Lord, serve God faithfully, sacrificially, just quit. Fall by the wayside. And if we're not careful, it will alarm us. It will shake us. And again, we should not be untouched or unmoved. It should burden us. It should trouble us. We should pray about it. And again, be the light and salt we ought to be. But we can still, in the spite of all the trouble, be calm. Because he said it was going to be this way. He talked about a little remnant. Well, we're seeing that. We are seeing what he said it would be like. 1 Peter 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The word means, come here. Now are you listening? Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Here's what it means. Listen to me. Listen to me. You wonder why I say listen to me like I do? Maybe the Lord's leading me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know, but I still do it. I know why I do it. You don't listen to me. Listen to me. Here's what Paul said the Spirit's doing. Listen to me. Listen to my words. Listen to what I'm saying. And here's what he says. That in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, listen to me closely, because this message you need desperately. When you see them falling, when you see them straying, when you see them listening to the doctrines of demons, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be scared. Don't be shaken. Because of his coming, I can be calm. I don't have to be disappointed. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I think that means the teachers have itching ears, like, just scratch me a little bit. That feels so good. Tell me how good I did. Tell me how good I've made you feel. I also think that means the listener saying to the preacher, please don't hurt me. Don't do anything hard. Help me feel good. Scratch me behind the ears. Ears just make me feel good about myself. And that's exactly that. I'm telling you, that's the day we're in. But he said it's going to be this way. So even though it can be troubling and we need to be concerned, he said, expect it. Don't be alarmed. Don't be disappointed. I say this, I'm done. No matter what, it isn't time to quit. Will you be the next one to quit? Don't think you won't, because you could be. Mike talked in Sunday school this morning about being in church, and I thought while he was teaching, there's probably people here now who are already being drawn away from the desire of church. And the Lord is just trying to warn them. And I wonder, did we take heed? It is so easy to lose our desire. So easy to lose our dedication of doing what's right when we don't want to. And that's, listen, he warned us there's going to be a lot of people leaving. Could have said again, will you be the next one? You may, if you don't listen. I may, if I don't listen. The Spirit says expressly, listen to me. Don't be the next one. Don't let it happen to you. So I say again, it isn't time to quit. It isn't time to stray. It isn't time to slack off. Don't be the next casualty. I've never been disappointed in Him. Not one time. And by the way, I never will be. Not as long as I can see Him. I can trust Him. Let's stand together.